This morning, I want you to take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter number 16. I'm sure my sermon will be a little odd for you as an Easter sermon, but it has a purpose. Luke chapter 16. Once you find Luke 16, find verse number 19. Luke 16, 19, and stand with me, if you will, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll stand out of reverence to God's Word. Luke chapter 16, starting with verse number 19, the Bible says this: "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Drop down to verse 28, it says, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify of them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Now go to verse 30. "And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." If you'll look back at me, this is a very popular passage of Scripture. It's about hell. But something was said here. It said, if one came to them from the dead. I want to talk to you this morning. It'll take us a little while to get where I'm going. It's almost going to be like story time for just a little while. I call the sermon Biblical Resurrections. Biblical resurrections. Let me pray. Father, bless us now with thy Spirit's presence. A bit of an unorthodox type of a sermon today, but God will learn the Bible, will be challenged by it, and your Son will be exalted and uplifted in it. Bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence. May the interruptions be minimal. Father, I will give you my attention. May the people give their attention to the Scripture. Holy Spirit of God, reach down and do a supernatural work in this place this morning, please. Thank you, Jesus, that you did not stay in that grave. Bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. In a moment, I'm going to come back to the verses that I just shared with you, and we'll discuss them. There is today and in the last few years, an infatuation with something that I think is just silly. It's the zombie craze. It's all about people coming back from the dead. And young people, if you watch that sort of stuff, it'll give you nightmares at night. And let me just tell you, that sort of thing, whoever's producing that stuff's a bit full of prunes, if you will. They have zombie movies, The Night of the Living Dead. And there's a movie called Zombieland and The Return of the Living Dead and The Returned. They have a book called The Zombie Survival Guide. You say, well, I don't know anything about all this. Well, it's about people coming back from the dead, and then I think they eat people, and it's just kind of a weird thing. They have a game, and, you know, now they have video games where you can kill zombies, Dead Rising. They have zombie survival kits, and there's a song called Living Dead Girl that's produced, and it's all about zombies. Now, let me tell you something. I've asked myself, why in the world are people so infatuated with that craziness and that silliness? If I tried to figure out what the devil had in any part of it, I would say he would like to get people's minds prepared just a little bit for the fact that Jesus is coming again, and there's coming a moment when the dead in Christ shall rise. They're going to have to figure out how to explain all that away when it all happens. I don't know where that plays into it all, but there is definitely an infatuation with people in regard to the thing of resurrection. In Luke chapter 16, you probably have something that you wouldn't think a lot about in regard to resurrection. Jesus is telling a story. A rich, unsaved man died, and that unsaved man went to hell. The Bible says he woke up in the torments of hellfire. He cries out to Abraham in verse 28, and he said, Father Abraham, I have five brethren who are not saved. He said, I don't want them to come to this awful place. He said, if you would send someone back from the dead, then they would get saved. He said in verse 30, he said, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham said, well, your five brethren, they have the Bible. And if they won't believe what it says, neither are they going to believe anyone who has returned from the dead. I want you to understand something. God is saying, if I told you about resurrection in the Bible, it's true, and I don't need to send somebody to you on television or on some show to convince you that there is such thing as a resurrection of the dead. God said, if I told you in the Bible, it's true. He said, and I'm not real sure you'll be convinced if somebody came back from the dead, since you won't believe the Bible, because the Bible is the basis of all truth anyway. This rich man in this story, though, the one that went to hell, and he said, I got five brothers, please, I need to get them saved. Send somebody back from the dead. That rich man was convinced that the resurrection would be a very powerful testimony to the lost. And I think resurrection is a powerful testimony to the lost. What would have he been referring to? Well, he was saying the Bible talks about resurrection. There are resurrections throughout the Bible. Of course, today, the Christian element in America celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad. I don't think that today is the day that he was resurrected necessarily, just like I don't think that December 25th is the day that Jesus was born. But I'm glad we celebrate it. Now, so you all know around here, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ 52 weeks a year. We go around telling everybody Jesus died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. And so Easter is a big day to us because it's Sunday, and we're just glad other people wanted to get in on it, but every Sunday is a big day for us. We just believe that this resurrected Savior and this resurrection stuff is a really big thing. But death is a powerful force, and the fact that somebody comes back from the dead is a powerful thing. So it will get people's attention. Thank God, did you know that we serve the only Savior that has been raised from the dead? You know old beer belly Buddha? He didn't get up out of the grave. He stayed down. You look at the false gods, they didn't get up out of the grave. I serve a risen Savior. He's in this world today. Now, there are other people in the Bible who have been resurrected. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you on a little journey, and I want you to stay with me. We'll end up at the obvious place, but I want to talk to you about some of the resurrections in the Bible. God, if God wants someone resurrected, he has the power to do it. For instance, in the Old Testament, there's a handful of resurrections, and this is where story time comes in. So boys and girls, everybody set up and be real good and put your hands on your lap and don't pull each other's hair. And just listen to me for a little while as I tell you the story of some of the resurrections of the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah helps through God's power to resurrect the son of a widow woman in Zarephath. And here's how, let me read a verse to you. It says in verse 21 and 22, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Here is the son of a widow woman that gets resurrected. A boy had become sick. His mother was a widow. This very widow had shared her oil and her cornmeal with the prophet Elijah to try to help keep him alive. The boy took sick and he drew his last breath and died. Elijah was living in their house in a loft. Elijah took the dead boy into that loft and laid on top of him, stood up, laid on him again, stood up, laid on him again. Elijah prayed to God to restore the boy's life, and the Bible says in 1 Kings 17:22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now that's incredible. In Luke 16, where the guy said, look, I'm in hell, I've got five brethren, he said, I wish you would send somebody resurrected from the dead to go witness to them. And Abraham said, look, they've got the Bible. If they won't believe what the Bible said, why are they going to believe somebody raising from the dead? That's one of the stories. The Bible tells us of resurrection from the dead. That's a story, and you say, well, I have a hard time believing it. I believe the Bible. I don't believe Hollywood. I believe the Bible. But what that's an incredible thing. Somebody was actually resurrected from the grave. But there's a greater resurrection in the Bible. We'll get to it in a few minutes. Elisha raises the son of a Shunammite woman from the dead in 2 Kings chapter 4. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. It says in verse 32, when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Here's the story. A woman's child had died. Elisha went into that child's room and prayed. Elisha laid upon the child. He put his mouth upon the child's mouth. He put his eyes and his hands upon the child, and the child's body was cold from death. And in verse 34, the Bible says that warmth returned to the child's body. Elisha stood up and walked around the house. He laid on the child one last time. The child sneezes 7 times, and miraculously, this child opens his eyes. He comes back from the dead. Now, that's an incredible story. You say, what does the sneezing have to do with it? Maybe Elisha just needed to bathe. I'm not sure about all that. But I'll tell you this, it's another resurrection. As we go through the Bible, there are resurrections throughout the Bible. But that's not the big one. There's one yet to come. We'll get to it in a few minutes. There was a man that was raised from the dead when his dead body touched the bones of Elisha. I'll read to you from 2 Kings chapter 13. The Bible says this, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Here's the story. Elisha, the man of God, had died. They had buried him. Some months later, the Moabites are invading the land. There was a funeral processional taking place in the cemetery where Elisha, the man of God, had been buried. Suddenly, the funeral was interrupted by a band of invading Moabites. To hide quickly, the pallbearers tossed the dead body into the sepulchre where Elisha's bones were. When they did that, this dead person's body landed on the bones of Elisha, and that dead person was resurrected. You say, wow, that's incredible. You think it's incredible. You'd think how shocked the pallbearers were when it happened. And that's a phenomenal, phenomenal story. It's another resurrection of the Bible. It's true. That really happened. Now, that's not the big resurrection in the Bible. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Those are in the Old Testament. There's a story in the Bible about a place called the Valley of Dry Bones. It was a valley where there were bones and bones and bones strung all across it. They call it the Valley of Dry Bones. And the Bible says that the man of God went and prayed and he needed an army. And God said, I'll get you an army out of the Valley of Dry Bones. And the man of God said, how are you going to get me an army out of the Valley of Dry Bones? It's just full of dead men's bones. And God said, if I want those bones to get up, I can get those bones up. The Bible says that God sent the power of God upon a valley full of dry bones, and all of a sudden, skin started coming on the bones. And what happened is the ankle bone found the leg bone, and the leg bone found the thigh bone, and the thigh bone found the tailbone, and the tailbone found, you know the song, and the tailbone found the backbone, and before long, those bones stood up, and a mighty army was resurrected from the dead so that God could use it. Now, let me explain something to you, folks. If the Bible tells us that Jesus was resurrected, you can be dead sure that he was, and it really happened. All the way through the Bible, we see these stories of resurrections. In the New Testament, there were resurrections. Peter, through the power of God, raises Dorcas from the dead. In Acts chapter 9, verse 37, it says, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. In verse 40 it says, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and praying and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Here's the story. Dorcas was a servant of God. She sewed. She was a seamstress, and she served the poor with that trade. She became very sick and died, and she was placed in an upper chamber. They heard that Peter was preaching in the area, so they sent for Peter, the preacher, the man of God. When Peter arrived, many people were in the upper chamber. They were mourning her death. They showed Peter the clothes that Dorcas had made for the poor. Then Peter said to everybody, I want you to leave the room. He bowed down on his knees and he prayed. And he said to her dead body, Dorcas, arise. She opened her eyes. She sat up. Peter offered her his hand and they together walked out of that room and she was resurrected from the dead. That's a true story. That happened in the Bible. And let me tell you something. I really believe this. I believe one of the reasons why that particular lady was brought back from the dead is because I think she was needful. I think she was doing something for God. The Bible makes it very clear that she helped the poor. She had passed. Peter even looks at the things that she did for the poor. The whole room was full of people that she had been good to. They were missing her. And God just chose to bring somebody back from the dead because they were useful. Would he have any reason to resurrect you? Should God bring you back from the dead? What do you do for God? Well, the transfer will be on to heaven, so, you know, that's not a bad deal. But wouldn't it be an honor to think that you were important enough to God that he would spare your life or bring you back from the dead? That might be something you might want to strive for. Make yourself useful enough to God that God would have a reason to resurrect you if he lost you. Would God say, well, I don't want that person to lose their life. They're important to God. They're important to the church. They're making a difference. They're keeping people out of hell. They're feeding the poor. They're an encouragement to their pastor. If that were the case for some of you, God would kill you. That'd be the case for you. But in that story, she's resurrected from the dead. But that's not the big resurrection in the Bible. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Paul raised a man by the name of Eutychus from the dead. I'll read to you from Acts chapter 20. It says in verse number 9, and there sat in the window a certain young man, Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. Here's the story. Paul was preaching in night church. And by the way, night church is taught in the Bible. It's not something we dreamed up. They had services at night on Sunday in the Bible. And it was midnight. Those of you that gripe because I preach for 30, 40 minutes on Sunday night because you can't get home by 9 o'clock, let me explain something to you. Paul preached till midnight and they stayed to hear it. And I know you're thinking, but you're not Paul. No, I'm not. I'm not. The church that night was all lit up with lamps. They had a full house, and a man named Eutychus was sitting in the loft window listening to Paul. It was actually a third story. It's almost like a third story balcony. He was sitting in a window up three stories high, and Eutychus fell asleep during the preaching. Some of you should be renamed Eutychus. But Eutychus falls asleep during the preaching, and it had probably been a lengthy sermon. Again, I doubt that Paul preached for 35 or 40 minutes, and they didn't have watches back then where people in the congregation, if you preach long, would get their watch out and say, well, preacher, you need to get done. I need to get to lunch. I put a roast in the oven. It's going to burn. Get us out of here. They didn't do that. But I believe Eutychus had been up there. He fell asleep, and the Bible says he falls asleep. He falls out of the window all the way to the ground. You talk about shake up a congregation. What would you think if somebody's body falls out of the sky and hits right down here, splat, right there? And the Bible says he died. The preacher came down out of the pulpit, went down, laid on that body, and God gave Eutychus back his life. And you know what it said after that? It said, I believe Eutychus was Baptist. You say, how do you know that? Because it said after he got resurrected, he was hungry. Baptists like to eat. But hey, and just so you know, don't criticize him until you've done a couple resurrections yourself. You don't know how hungry it actually makes you. But that's a story. That happened. That happened in the Bible. There's a church, a resurrection that took place in the church. Now, that's not the big resurrection of the Bible, but it had been taking place throughout the Bible. You go all the way back into the Old Testament. There were times when God would bring people back from the grave. There's a story where Jesus raises the son of a widow. Actually, she's called the widow of Nain, N-A-I-N. Her son had died. Let me read a couple scripture to you. It says in Luke chapter 7, verse number 12, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." In verse 15 it says, "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." Jesus and the disciples had gone into the city called the city of Nain. At the gate of the city there was a funeral of a dead man taking place. He was an only son to his mother, this one that had died. The whole city had come out to this man's funeral. And this widow, she obviously was very brokenhearted. Her husband's gone. Her only son is now gone. And the widow is brokenhearted. The Bible says that Jesus walks over to the coffin and says, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And this young man sat up in his coffin and began to speak. And again, it's another resurrection in the Bible. So you all understand something. God is the one that has power over life and death. You know, if you ever hear someone say, I've helped a lot of people, and they ask that question, you know, if I'm in the hospital and there has to be a decision about whether I should be allowed to pass away or not. So you understand, God's the one that makes that final decision. God has in his hand the power of life and death. There's another story of a resurrection in the Bible. And so you know, the resurrection of this son of the widow of Nain, that's a resurrection. That's a big deal. Now, it's not the prominent resurrection in the Bible. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. There's another story where Jesus raises the daughter of Jairus from the dead. I'll read to you from Luke chapter 8, verse 49. It says, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." In verse 53 it says, "And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead." In verse 55 it says, "And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat." Let me tell you the story quickly. A man named Jairus came to Jesus because his 12-year-old daughter was dying. Jesus wanted to go to the girl, but the crowd was so thick for him to get there, Jesus was detained. While stuck in a crowd, someone from Jairus' house came and said, "The 12-year-old girl has died. There's no need for Jesus to come." Jesus said, "Well, I don't have to be there on the spot. I just wanted to because I thought it would be good, but all you got to do is believe and I can take care of this." He said, "Well, we believe." You know what? There are even people there that laughed. Said they laughed. Jesus said, "Well, we can stop right here and take care of this." I said, "Who does this guy think he is, God?" Yeah, that's exactly who he was. Dumb bunny. When Jesus arrived, everybody there was weeping out of control. And Jesus said, "Nah, she's not going to stay dead." They laughed him to scorn, the Bible says. He took the dead child's hand and said, "Arise." And she immediately sat up and got her life back. How incredible. You say, "Oh, what's the big deal?" Well, I'll tell you what, if that were your daughter, it'd be a big deal. If it were your son, it'd be a big deal. If that happened at your church, it would be a big deal. But it's just another story in the Bible that shows you the power of God and what God can do. I mean, if God wants someone alive, they'll be alive. And that's what took place here. Remember, a man died and went to hell, the opening scripture in Luke chapter 16. And he said, "Look, if you'd send somebody from the grave, then resurrect somebody to go back and witness to my brethren." And God said, Abraham told him, he said, "Look, if you won't believe the Bible, you're not going to believe somebody resurrection from the grave." Folks, did you know the Bible's true? God wants you to believe the Bible. You say, "Pastor, I would believe in a resurrection if I met somebody that had been resurrected." Well, probably you wouldn't. Look, the Bible's true. God wrote it. It's God's book. But let me give you another story. Oh, you like this one. I like this one. Jesus raised from the grave a fellow by the name of Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 14, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." In John 11, 21, it says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In John 11, 44, it says, "And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go." Here's the story. Very popular story, known by many, about the resurrection of this man by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus was a man that was sick and dying. His sisters, Mary and Martha, sent for Jesus to come and heal Lazarus before he died. Jesus was delayed for 2 days. And Lazarus died. They were upset. They were upset. Said, Jesus, had you been here, had you hurried, we wouldn't have, our brother wouldn't have died. And they end up burying him. When Jesus arrived at the cemetery, all he had to say was, open the sepulcher. You say, why? Why did he tell him to open the sepulcher? Well, he wanted everybody to see very clearly what he was about to do. He wanted to make it clear. Martha even said, Jesus is getting ready to help Lazarus get up out of the grave. And Martha said, she said, by now, his body stinks. Now, do you know something? That would not limit Jesus Christ at all. He'd been dealing with stinky human bodies all the way through this thing. Matter of fact, you're sitting by somebody right now, you say, I know somebody that smells like they just got resurrected, for sure. We've been dealing with that. But here he is, Jesus is at the grave, and he says, take that stone back. And then all he does is he prays and says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes up resurrected. He's still mummified, if you will, meaning still wrapped in the mummy wrapping. And Jesus says, well, don't just stare at him. Go unwrap him. Get that stuff off of him. He is alive. And what an incredible story. You've heard it said, and it bears being said again. When Jesus was there, he said, outside that tomb, while Lazarus was dead, he said, Lazarus, come forth. You say, why did he have to use Lazarus' name? Would Lazarus not know who he was talking to? Oh, no. Lazarus would know who he was talking to. And Mary would know who he was talking to. And Martha would know who he was talking to. And Jesus would know who he was talking to. He was talking to Lazarus. But wait a minute. If he would not use the term Lazarus, then everybody that had ever died would have came forth at that moment. Because in God, there is the power to resurrect from the dead. So he had to pinpoint who he was talking about, because you just don't go around using God's word and flinging words around when you're the man of God like Jesus was without resurrecting the whole cemetery. So he said, I'm only going to do one this time, folks, but let me show you what we can do here. Lazarus, you come forth. And he responded at the time of resurrection. Incredible. All the way through the Bible, resurrections. And I believe every one of them. I believe they were resurrected. I believe that God has the power to bring people back from the grave if he chooses to do so. And I'll tell you this, that there are some people that will say in this day and age that they've been brought back. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But all the ones that misuse it, I don't believe in those for a second. You know, if somebody really came back from the grave, either heaven or hell, they'd turn into a soul-winning machine and be keeping people out of hell so fast, it would just make your head spin. They wouldn't be in Hollywood trying to get big book deals. They'd be keeping people out of hell. I will guarantee that. Their life would be changed. They would be moral. They would be decent. They would be clean. If they got a glimpse of death and what heaven and hell is really like, that you would be impressed with what they were. But can God bring somebody back from the dead? Sure. Sure. Absolutely. But you know, the great resurrection, and that's why we're here today, the great resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 5, it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus died. Do you know that there are theologians? You say, what's a theologian? Somebody is too big for their own spiritual britches, usually. There are theologians that would actually say that Jesus didn't totally die. He just kind of passed out. No, he died. Jesus died. The Bible says he gave up the ghost, that he was dead. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 6, it says, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. This is where Jesus was placed, in a borrowed tomb. So he died. And so don't get mixed up. He wasn't murdered. He chose to die. He died. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Someone was talking to some second graders. And a second grader asked the pastor one Sunday, said, Pastor, what did Jesus say after he was resurrected? And the pastor said, well, I'm not sure it tells you that he said anything at the moment he was resurrected. And the second grader said, well, he had to say something. And the pastor said, well, I don't know. And another little girl raised her hand. She said, I know what he said. The pastor said, well, honey, what did he say? She said, he said, ta-da! That makes sense. I mean, there's at least a ta-da in this thing. Jesus had died. He had been put in that grave. It was a borrowed tomb, and they rolled the stone over that grave. His resurrection had been predicted. You understand the enemy then put soldiers around his sepulcher to make sure that somebody couldn't come and steal his body. Wouldn't have mattered how many soldiers they put around that thing. Nobody was going to steal it. He was going to get up out of that grave. They weren't going to stop it. But somehow man always think that they can challenge the supernatural and slow God down, but that's not going to happen. The Bible says there he was. He was in the tomb. There was a stone rolled across that grave, that tomb where he was placed. The Bible says that Sunday morning there was an earthquake. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary ran down to the graveside. An angel had rolled back the stone of the tomb of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the soldiers became as dead men. In other words, they were grabbing their hearts going, oh! Oh, what in the world's going on? Like, you know, Fred Sanford on Sanford and Son. Who's a big one? Who's a big one? I mean, they were falling backwards and saying, oh my! What? They were scared out of their senses, paralyzed in fear. What had happened? God said, I've been showing you resurrections for a long time. I told you it was coming. I told you there was a big one coming. And all of heaven stopped when Jesus was getting ready to get up out of that grave. Everybody in heaven was looking over the banister saying, this is a big one. This is the one we've all been awaiting. They all think he's down for the count. He's getting up. And everybody up there was watching. And everybody was looking. Mary sees an angel. The angel said, fear not. I'm thinking, way too late. Fear not. Everybody around's having heart attacks, freaking out, going, oh, what's going on here? Go, and the next thing you know, out he comes. And they said, go tell everybody. Go tell everybody. This is the big one. The resurrected Savior. Do you know how disappointed the devil was right there at that moment? The devil thought he had him down. The devil thought, look, we got him. We've got him. We're going to keep him there. All of hell could not keep Jesus down. You know what's different about that resurrection and all the others? All the other resurrections had other people and other elements involved. This one, Jesus got up by himself. You say, what was he doing? He's making sure that he paid our sin debt personally. Personally. He did it with no man's help. He did that for me. He did that for you. And that thing has affected the entire world. Lots of resurrections in the Bible. The big one, that's Jesus Christ. The one that all the others would say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Hey, and if there are other resurrections thereafter, ere they be in what we would call the shortly after, or even in modern day, any resurrection ought to remind people there is the ultimate resurrection that you can trace back to a place where God's own Son died for us, was buried for us, and got up out of the grave for us. And that's what we call Easter. I like the term Resurrection Sunday. That's what it's really all about. Huh. How would you like to be resurrected? Wouldn't you like to be resurrected yourself? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know what God's promising? We get to go through a resurrection ourselves. If you're saved. You say, wonder if I'm not saved. That's a bad news. If you're saved, you're going to get to go through a resurrection. You say, I love that story of Lazarus. That's so good. You get to be a Lazarus someday. You say, I just love the story of how that son, Jairus' daughter at 12, got resurrected, or the son of the widow at Nain. I love that story of how that person got resurrected. You know that born-again Christians, they get to have a resurrection themselves. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming again. When he comes, he's coming to take Christians to heaven. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, then the living Christians shall rise to meet him in the air. Now, to get this resurrection, you have to be saved. Jesus is coming again. if you're alive when he comes again, we'll be virtually resurrected off this earth, and we'll be taken up to be with him in the clouds. But the people that have died and they're already in the grave, they're going to get to go by way of a resurrection where God's going to pull their bodies up to go and meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Now, saved people get to go up. Saved people get to come out of that grave. I don't know about you. I realize that when we die, that, you know, we're not saved people are not locked in a box, all scared, wishing you had a flashlight under the ground. I know you're not there. But I'm not real excited about the process. I'm a pastor, and I understand the Bible, and I know that, you know, I'm going to be with the Lord, and it's just my body in there. But I don't even want my body in there, to be quite honest with you. But I'm promising you, the Bible teaches that when Jesus comes again, according to Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, he's going to blow a trumpet, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up into the clouds with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is another resurrection, and I would say the biggest resurrection, as we obviously have seen this morning, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second biggest resurrection is yet to come, and we get to be a part of it. If you're alive, you'll go up and you'll see all of this happening. If you're not alive when we go up, you get to go up first. You say, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why is that? Well, the dead in Christ are 6 foot further under. It's going to take them longer, and he'd like us all to go up together. So he said to the dead ones, let's get started here, get a little momentum, get a little running start. They're going to get up. We're going to meet them, and we're going to go up into the clouds to be with God. Hey, I get to be a part of a resurrection one way or another. I'm either going up alive and I'm going to be a part of the big resurrection, or I'm going up where my body had been dead, but I get to be a part of it, and so do you. The resurrection is taught throughout the Bible. The big one, that's Jesus. Next big one, you say, when's it going to happen, preacher? I don't know, you watching the news? You hear people talk about it? You say, yeah, but you know how the scaremongers are. I've been studying this book for a long time. It may be sooner than what you think. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. If you're here today and you're not saved, may I recommend to you the Savior? Trust Jesus as your Savior. You'll have a resurrection coming to you because of him if you'll trust Christ as Savior. If you are saved, I want you to live right. Jesus is coming again. I don't intend to hurt your feelings, but we have church 52 weeks a year, not just on Easter. Might be good to come. You do serve a risen Savior, right? Well, come down to his house. Help. Well, what would be the reason to resurrect you if you died? They wanted to resurrect Dorcas. She takes care of people. She helps people. Let's get her up. She's worthy. I mean, she's valuable. Let's give God a reason to resurrect us, even if we died prior to the rapture. Again, Luke chapter 16. Man died, went to hell. Said to Abraham, Father Abraham, I've got five brothers. And if one would come to them resurrected from the grave, they would listen. And Abraham said, if they won't believe the Bible, they're not going to believe a physical resurrection. You see, the Word of God is what accomplishes it all. And so let's believe the Bible. Let's believe the resurrections of the Bible. If you're here today and you're not saved, I hope you'll trust the Jesus of the resurrection and the Jesus of the Bible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Do you know for a fact if you died today you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I don't know that for a fact. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor? I don't know that I'm saved. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I do not know. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. You may put that hand down. If you're not saved, in a minute, we're going to have an altar call. In other words, in a moment, I'll turn to the pianist. She'll begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. If you're not saved, if you need to come forward, you come forward. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. That way, you can be resurrected when the day comes. You'll be resurrected to go to heaven. Now, those of you that are Christian, should you be doing more for the Savior? What would be God's reasoning in resurrecting you if you died? Would God have any reason to bring you back? And I'm not asking that it happens. I'm just saying, well, look, we see a story in the Bible where God brought somebody back and made a big deal out of how helpful they were before they died. They were needed. Let's all do something for God that makes us needed. Maybe that will extend our life. But who here as a Christian would say, Pastor, you're right. I might need to apply myself a little more in my Christianity, show up at church a little more, serve God a little more, give Him a reason to want to keep me around or to bring me back. Who here as a Christian would say, maybe I ought to serve God with a little more diligence? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Say, I need maybe a little more diligence on my part. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're not born again, if you come, we'll take a Bible, Mrs. Owens, and we'll show you how to be born again. If you need to come, you come. If you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, Christian, do you need to get yourself a little closer to the Savior? Maybe you ought to come down here and get on your knees and say, Father, I need to get a little closer to you. I need to take a little more time for you. Brother Mike, are you born again? You linger for just a few more minutes. There are those that are yet being dealt with. There's a lot of celebration that goes on about what we call Easter in the world. But you know, so much of it is not pure. This is really all about Jesus. This is really all about a resurrection. This is really all about God's Son. It's really all about the fact that He died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. It's really all about the fact that He's coming again, and He wants people to get born again. He wants people to get saved. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. Just be patient. I know we have people being born again. One more time through the song, Rachel. I want to give folks at the altar plenty of time. Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If not, why don't you come? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a lady, I can have a lady deal with you. If you're a man, I can have a man deal with you. We don't want to embarrass you. But again, I said at the beginning of our service, we're not playing church here. We really believe it. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell. People really do need to get born again. And there really was a resurrection. Jesus really is coming again. A few extra moments at the altar is not an inconvenience when you're talking about an eternity for someone.